The state of Jefferson exists only in the mind at the moment. The far southern parts of Oregon and the far northern parts of California never actually split off to form their own state, despite frequent frustrations with the two state capitals. But the name sure does provide an easy handle. I mean, after all, this is Jefferson Public Radio. The region does contain some spectacular sights and scenery and amenities, so why not promote tourism as the state of Jefferson? That's the essential question presented by today's guest. Nick Salmon is listed here as the Interim Deputy Public Affairs Liaison for Travel Jefferson. Nick, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
I suspect that lengthy title hides the fact that you may be the only person involved with Travel Jefferson.
Yes, you caught me there. It's kind of, I think the initial reason for the long-winded title was to, I guess, maybe a light-hearted jab at some of the bureaucracy that can be found in state agencies.
So you're going to emulate you're the Jefferson Tourism Agency now, and you're going to end up getting as bureaucratic as the ones in Oregon and California, too?
As bureaucratic as we can be, mm-hmm. What we're really going for. But I guess the irony is, yeah, I'm the only one so far, but we'll try to fill this interim position as soon as possible.
So, Nick, tell us about how you got to this point. What have you been doing with your life up until now, and why embark on this quest?
Well, I have a background in destination marketing, and so usually I'm working with actually recognized entities and helping them develop their destinations or promote them to boost tourism. And I moved to Ashland in 2012, and until that point wasn't familiar with the whole history of the mythical state of Jefferson, and then, of course, became aware of it through some of the more contemporary political stuff that's been going on. And it just is, as you know, a very interesting story, and there certainly is a regional character, and just became passionate about it and was also a little bit frustrated because I felt like despite some really phenomenal tourist and travel destinations, I think that a lot of people aren't aware of the wealth of opportunities that are between big cities like Portland and San Francisco.
Do you think that's the issue, is that the tourism marketing machinery tends to be run closer to the metropolitan areas?
Yeah, and I think that just generally the West is, the western part of the states is just so huge to begin with. It can be a little bit daunting for people to explore the areas that are, you know, several hours from a major airport. But then again, I mean, just this past week, I've been on the first of a two-week tour throughout a good part of the state of Jefferson, and this first part has really been hugging the coastline. And the number of foreign tourists that I've been seeing has been an interesting surprise, specifically a lot of German speakers. So certainly there are people that have, for whatever reason, decided to explore this part of the country. So I think the potential is really there.
Did you ask some of these foreign visitors how they had first found out about the region? I mean, I certainly can't believe they would have identified it as, oh, yeah, we want to go to the state of Jefferson.
No, and it wasn't because of TravelJefferson.com, I'll admit. But for some of them, specifically the German speakers, I had a conversation with a group of four people at this little cafe in Trinidad, I think in Humboldt County, and they were saying that the Highway 1 or the coastal highway between San Francisco, the Bay Area, and Portland is something that some of their local travel writers had discussed, and so undeniably beautiful part of the country, and so that's why they decided to go there. But of course, so much of Jefferson isn't just the coastline, and so the second week of this tour, we're going to be heading inland.
And what have you? What else have you seen so far on your coastal swing?
It's been interesting. I saw, it's kind of funny now, given how hot it is. But I think it was the second night that we had quite a storm. This would have been last, I think, Saturday, and I was in Port Orford, which is already a fairly windy, stormy place to begin with.
Right.
And drove down to the dock there, and it was just, I mean, it was like a movie set, just in terms of how crazy the storm was. And ended up having to sleep in the car because there was no way I was going to be able to pitch a tent out at the campgrounds there. So that was pretty crazy. And then I was down at Glass Beach. I'm traveling with, I guess maybe she's the deputy. She's my one-eyed dog.
Deputy assistant, yeah.
Yes, my assistant, Dolly. And she almost got swept out to sea at Glass Beach over in Fort Bragg, but fortunately she didn't. But that's about as exciting as it's gotten so far.
So the current tour is to discover the 75 best places in the state of Jefferson at the moment. So did you pick these in advance, or are you just sort of finding them out as you go?
And actually, just to correct you, it's not so much to determine what they are, but basically just to feel like I have a pretty good idea of the universe of possibilities and put them out there, put them on the website, and then let folks come and vote and get an idea for some kind of consensus on what those 75 places were. Being in the Rogue Valley for a couple of years, you know, I have a pretty good idea of the immediate vicinity, and I've done some traveling, you know, in Klamath up to Crater Lake and in Modoc and Siskiyou counties. But this is the first time I've been to a number of these counties, and a lot of people already know that the state of Jefferson boundaries are pretty fluid, but a lot of times people focus on 19 counties in Southern Oregon and Northern California. And again, that's a lot of territory to cover. So I'm just trying to get out there and see as much as possible, take 2,500 to 3,000 miles, put it on the car, pay for the gas, and get that list for people to vote on.
Nick Salmon's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the brains behind the Travel Jefferson campaign. Visit our State of Wonder. It's a great time to visit the State of Jefferson, the website says, at traveljefferson.com. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So back to the boundaries. You mentioned the 19 counties that you actually go even a little broader than we do. You don't include Eugene as we do because we have a transmitter in Eugene, but you do include Chico, which is not necessarily traditionally part of the quote unquote state of Jefferson. How come to the decision about where to draw the boundaries?
You know, I spent so much time on Google Maps and images looking at all these various maps that have been put out there, and it seems like every museum that I would go to that would focus some part of their exhibits on the state of Jefferson, or they would have little self-published books or booklets, and the maps would always be changing. And so again, the reason why, at first we weren't going to focus so much on the specific counties, but then given that it's not just a tongue-in-cheek enterprise, but really we do want to figure out a way to promote these different counties and help generate some more revenue by developing the travel and tourism industries in these parts of the country that a lot of these counties are hurting economically, it seemed necessary to actually put some names on the boundaries. But as you know, it's a pretty fluid definition, and I have to say that when I was driving through Mendocino County, I didn't get the impression that there was as much awareness or interest in the idea of a state of Jefferson as I did, you know, up in Curry or Del Norte counties. And then once I get over to Siskiyou, it'll be very familiar that this is just, you know, the idea of the state of Jefferson kind of waxes and wanes depending on where you are in this mythical state.
So in a sense, are you sort of hitching your star to the rise of an interest in a political state of Jefferson? Because there have been votes to break away from California in a couple of counties so far.
Well, it definitely makes it more timely. Again, while I find it really interesting, this is very separate from the political stuff that's going on. I think that in some ways, no matter how you feel about the political, the boundaries or the movements, I would think that most people can agree that helping to develop the travel and tourism industries in this part of the country would benefit businesses, would benefit the local economies.
It's an interesting approach you've taken, too, because the website tends to be tongue-in-cheek, or at least fictitious in the sense that you're talking about the state of Jefferson as if it actually existed and did form up in 1941 from parts of Oregon and California, which is, it's a conscious decision, obviously.
Well, I mean, we have to get excited about the semi-sesquicentennial that's happening in 2016, Jeffrey. I mean, a party of that nature, you need the 3 years to prepare for it.
Semi-sesquicentennial meaning half of 150, so 75?
Yep, 75th anniversary in 2016.
That's a tough set of words to say, semi-sesquicentennial.
Well, it kind of goes along with my title when you put together press releases that talk about the excitement of setting up a semi-sesquicentennial celebration. Either people's eyes just glaze over or they actually will read it.
So to whom are you pitching the appeal then of Travel Jefferson, Nick?
You know, I think it's a lot of times this may seem kind of counterintuitive, but to be honest, to folks outside of the state who frankly wouldn't have considered coming here or would have just taken the I-5 corridor and made a straight shot for either Portland to San Francisco or the reverse trek. And what I'm really hoping people will do is recognize how close these world-class destinations are and get off the I-5 corridor for at least a time and spend some time in this part of the country. I mean, it's pretty remarkable to see how different the various regions of this or subregions of this region are. I mean, just listening to the weather report before we came on here, it's how many other public radio stations take what seems like, 10 minutes to go through all the various subclimates of the region just because it's so big.
10 zones. It was a little less today because it was pretty much just sunny and clear for all of them.
And hot.
Yeah. And hot, yes, indeed. So you mentioned the subregion. So you divided the state of Jefferson, as you portray the boundaries, into four different subregions. What are those?
Oof, that was a tough thing to do, I have to admit. So if we want to get a little bit particular with the counties of southern Oregon, that's divided into the Rogue Umpqua, which would be the western part. So off the top of my head here, that would be Douglas, Coos, Curry, and Josephine and Jackson counties. And then the eastern part, the northeastern part, would be Lake and Klamath counties, and that is called Lake Klamath, or Klamath Lake, rather. And then in the northern California, it's just the coast and then the huge Shasta Cascade region to the east.
And interesting, you referred to the south coast, I mean, which obviously is California's north coast, but it's the south coast of the state of Jefferson.
Which is also kind of, a little jab at California.
So how are you funding this? I mean, the website is quite lavish. What else is there, if anything, besides the website? I mean, you got these great pictures on here that are highly colorful and don't know where they came from and what else you're planning on doing. But it looks like, it's slick if not well-funded. So what is the funding source?
It is both slick and not well-funded. You're right there. The photos and the content, again, I have a background in destination marketing, so it's something, one of the few things that I actually can do. The photos were either taken by me or are public domain. And one thing that's going to be great about this trip is taking thousands of photos and videos and creating content both for the website, but we're going to be publishing a quarterly magazine. The first issue is going to come out this summer. And then also, right now I'm actually not in the state of Jefferson. Late yesterday I had to make a quick detour down to San Francisco because I wanted to follow up on a possible location for what we're calling these pop-up visitor recruitment centers, or VRCs. And we're hoping to open one in Portland and one in San Francisco, basically as little visitor centers, info centers, so that people will go there, pick up their pamphlets, information about various destinations, suggested travel itineraries, and then plan their trips. So that's really what we're focusing on now. The website, the 75 places campaign, and this road trip are mostly just promotional, but then the magazine and then the VRCs.
So the pamphlets you're talking about, are you looking beyond that to a younger, more tech-savvy traveler with a smartphone? Are you trying to make apps that can work out there as well?
It would be awesome to have apps. That's out of my expertise. So until we started actually getting some funding, because that would require having somebody else, paying somebody else to do that, unless there's some really tech-savvy person who wants to dedicate their time to it. It would be great to have an app.
So, Nick Salmon, how do you dovetail, or do you at any point, the Travel Jefferson campaign with the existing tourism marketing efforts that are going on in both Southern Oregon and Northern California?
Well, we're already, one thing that's great about this is that, again, because I'm not so worried about the political end of things, and we're obviously not so worried about competing for dollars, because there are limited dollars available for travel and tourism promotion efforts. What we really want to do is partner with businesses and tourism groups, because ultimately we're all doing the same thing. We're all trying to promote travel and tourism here. So what's going to be fun about the website, we're already trying to do it, is to also promote groups like the Southern Oregon Travel Association to promote Visit California, to promote Travel Oregon. And then also on the even more specific level, working with Chamber of Commerce's, and it's been fun every time I'm going through these cities to be able to stop and talk to these chambers. And sometimes people immediately know what I'm talking about. Sometimes people are like, is this candid camera? But what's great is that I think people can recognize at one point that, again, we're all working towards the same aim. And if this tongue-in-cheek way of promoting the area can also serve the same purpose, I think people have been really supportive.
Do you see it as a limited time thing or something that would be ongoing? I mean, does it have a finite life of a year or three or something like that?
It has a finite life of three. In 2016, with that big yet-to-be-organized or frankly conceived party, that would be, I think, it would run its course.
3 years maximum for the Travel Jefferson campaign.
For 2016, we'll have a big big final hurrah.
A big final hurrah. With the, I'm curious about some of the choices you've made here. I mean, obviously you have Crater Lake and Mount Shasta and some of the other great physical features of the state of Jefferson. You go as far as the, I think you actually have the Egyptian Theater in Coos Bay on here. So you got Coos County included, as you pointed out. But you also have a picture of star thistles, which is not something that people who live in the region are particularly fond of, and yet there you go. There's a feature of the state of Jefferson.
I don't think it's going to make the 75 top destinations, a star thistle located near Mudana down in Siskiyou County, but I just thought it was pretty.
It is a pretty picture. You got lots of pretty pictures going on here. The website is traveljefferson.com. It also defaults to jefferson.travel/home. I'm not quite sure how that magic works, but you got a good webmaster, it looks like. Nick Salmon is the brains behind the Travel State of Jefferson campaign, currently on his 75 Best Places tour. Nick, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, and I hope people will check us out at Travel Jefferson on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, all kinds of places to find it online. Thanks again, Nick. Bottom of the hour here on the Jefferson Exchange. Here is Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 1st of May, 2014. May Day, celebrated in many countries as Labor Day. It was in 1886, May Day, unions around the country went on strike in support of an 8-hour workday. It was a big national holiday in the Soviet Union, and in many places, a celebration of spring and fertility. In medieval England, people gathered flowers to bring in the May. They put up a maypole. The Celts built bonfires on May Day. In Germany, it was the day of a pagan festival that was assimilated by the Christian church and turned into the feast day of St. Walpurgis. And the night before, Walpurgisnacht, still celebrated in parts of rural Germany as a kind of Valentine's Day. 1786, on this day, Mozart's opera The Marriage of Figaro had its premiere in Vienna. Story of a single day in the palace of Count Almaviva, who tries to seduce Susanna, who's the young fiancée of the court valet Figaro. The cast for opening night of The Marriage of Figaro included an Irish tenor named Michael Kelly, who later wrote, "I can still see Mozart dressed in his red fur hat, trimmed with gold, standing on the stage with the orchestra at the first rehearsal, beating time for the music." The players on the stage and in the orchestra were electrified. It's the birthday of Joseph Heller, born 1923 in Brooklyn, who was working at an advertising agency when he came up with the first line of a novel. It was love at first sight. The first time he saw the chaplain, Yossarian fell madly in love with him. And Joseph Heller went on to finish his novel, which came to be called Catch 22, though at first it was called Catch 18. The title has now entered common speech, Catch 22, as a description of an unsolvable logical dilemma, a vicious circle. It was on this day, 1956, Jonas Salk's polio vaccine was made available to the public for the first time, using a dead polio virus. Another scientist, Albert Sabin, developed an oral vaccine using a live virus. The mass inoculations against the disease largely eradicated polio on Earth. Franklin D. Roosevelt was commonly believed to have had polio, but a review of his case in 2003 determined that he most likely suffered from Guillain-Barré syndrome. And today is the birthday of the astrophysicist Joseph Allen Hynek, born Chicago, 1910. Best known for his work studying UFOs, he came to be called a ufologist, unidentified flying objects. It was Hynek who came up with the term close encounter, which inspired the hit movie of 1977, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, a movie that Hynek served as a consultant to. Here's a poem for today, a little lyric by an unknown author entitled The Pig. It was the 1st of May, a lovely warm spring day. I was strolling down the street in drunken pride. But my knees were all a flutter, and I landed in the gutter, and a pig came up and lay down by my side. As I lay there in the gutter, thinking thoughts I could not utter, a lady passing by did softly say, "You can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses." And the pig got up and slowly walked away. The Pig by an unknown author. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Garrison Keillor on the Jefferson Exchange with today's edition of the Writer's Almanac. Garrison Keillor is heard just about every day, right about this time. It swings a little bit, but right around 8:30 here on the Jefferson Exchange. Coming up after a short break, we'll talk about what defines a journalist and who gets to define what a journalist is in the state of Oregon. That is something up for discussion now before the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. We'll talk about that with somebody from the Society of Professional Journalists after this break. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10.